Good morning and welcome to Fairhope Hospice Presents, sponsored by Fairhope Hospice and Palliative Care, your original hometown hospice, which includes the Pickering House, Hospice of Fairfield County, Hospice of Hocking County, and Hospice of Perry County. The views expressed on today's show are those of the participants and may not reflect the views of the staff and management of WLOH Radio Company. Now, here's your host for Fairhope Hospice Presents, Denise Bauer.
Well, good morning and welcome to our program. We have wonderful guests here today. We have Ellen Drewis Phillips, and she is a hospice social worker. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you.
And we have Rick Schneider, our community education coordinator. Welcome, Rick.
Morning, Denise. Good to be here.
It's good to have you. And we've just got some great things to talk about with Ellen. And we were discussing before we're on the air here that you've been with our hospice program for 8.5 years.
That's correct.
So all fun.
Oh, absolutely. Great time.
So she's been a great value to our program, and we'll talk a little bit more, you know, about what Ellen does. But if you think about social worker, our families, really oftentimes the social worker is the first person that they meet. Our social workers explain the hospice program and work with the families to understand that and then give them the opportunity to elect hospice quite often.
A few weeks ago, I was fortunate enough to be with Ellen and made a couple of consults with her. You know, we were the first live contact. They had phone conversations with staff, but nobody in person. And it was, for me, very interesting to talk to people who are making that biggest call and the biggest event of their life. You know, we were talking about their mom, and it was very emotional for me to watch how the interaction was going on and how Ellen kept everything under control, kept things calm, and let's work through this. And it was just amazing to watch it.
It is. And I remember back in the days when I was, you know, doing more coordinating of care, more frontline work with hospice. Oftentimes I did referrals at that time. I would go out and visit families for consultation, either at the hospital or their homes. And I often remember there were times where I walked in and I was actually the first person, you know, to even talk to them about being terminally ill. And, you know, sometimes that's a real difficult conversation to be able to maintain hope for that person. But, you know, sometimes it was just kind of what they call breaking the bad news. You know, physicians call and say, you know, I want you to go see this patient. You know, maybe the physician had touched on it. Maybe they hadn't touched on it a lot with the patient and their family. But oftentimes I know that, you know, there were some real difficult conversations. And sometimes you immediately bond with those families because you're talking about a real sensitive subject and you're bringing out a lot of emotion. Sometimes people knew they were terminally ill. They just hadn't had anybody say it. And, you know, we don't ever take away hope from our patients in that, you know, that they're going to be able to live the best quality of life they can. Sometimes their days are a little more limited. And so that's, you know, kind of where we are. And I know many of us, including our social workers, feel that we try to be very gentle and sensitive about it. But there's times where, I mean, patients have the right to know when they ask questions, you know, how am I doing? What does hospice mean? You know, things like that.
It was interesting to me. You know, Ellen, we'll let you talk later. Right now we're
busy. You guys are doing great.
Yeah, but it was interesting how Ellen walked things along but let the other people make the decisions. She could give suggestions but never told them anything what had to be done. Just made suggestions that this is what I would do, or in my mom's case we did this or that. But at no point did she tell anybody what they had to do. And that's hospice. It's up to the family and up to the patient.
Right. And it's, you know, a lot of times, and especially in that situation, they really hadn't even come to the point where they had decided what they wanted to do. And hospice was just an option. It was, you know, a good option and one that they needed to kind of look at a little further. But at that point, it was all so new to them and their lives had changed that all they really needed was just somebody to give them the option of hospice and kind of direct the conversation a little bit so that they could get their questions asked. And I think one of the frustrating things are, Denise, just like you said, you know, that terrible moment when you walk into the room and you realize that you are the person who is going to tell them, you know, that the patient has been referred to hospice. And so often that happens. But you just kind of have to take a deep breath and
know that you're doing what needs to be done to help this person,
right?
Really, because I think, you know, I think when people get over the immediate shock of, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize that I needed hospice, that my doctor had thought that this was something I needed. But once they get over that, they realize, hey, and what we tell them, we're just here to help you.
Well, and I think that, at least for me, in the last 8.5 years, I've seen hospice change a little bit over the course of
Absolutely.
Those times. You know, it used to be we didn't get involved with our patients very early. It was more or less, you know, kind of a last-minute thing, usually for pain control. And now I think what we're seeing is that we're actually being able to provide our patients with so much more and so much comfort care. But I know always for me it's lucky whenever I get to have patients for a really long time, because I get to be, you know, involved with them and get to know them. And I just recently had a patient, she did just pass away, but I'd had her for almost 4 years.
Wow.
And, you know, the most important thing about what we did for her was, I remember the consult, the very first contact that I had with her, she and her daughter, she was on a waiting list for a local nursing home, and she looked at me and she said, I want to stay in my home. And almost 4 years later, except for the last week of her life, she was in her home.
You know,
and she spent the last week at the Pickering House with us.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up a point that a lot of people like, is once you are assigned to a family, a patient learns who the nurse, social worker, and everybody is, they stay the whole time. There's no a new nurse coming in and the old one being something else. You stay with that family the entire time, and you do get to know the nuances, the personality traits,
well,
and all
that. Well, you become almost part of the family. After 4 years, you're a close friend.
I admit. Yeah. I shed some tears whenever she passed away. But
you get close to them. And,
yeah.
You know,
but we did our job.
And listeners may be saying, 4 years on hospice, my goodness, what's that? And, you know, our criteria are that if you would not be surprised that a patient died in 6 months or less, they're appropriate for hospice. Mm-hmm. We have had people, there's one, she's probably the longest person we've had live on hospice, close to it. No, Ellen's shaking her head, no. What's the longest?
There is another patient that I have had the privilege of being involved with. They, both of these patients came on really, really close together, and she is still alive and with us. But we are providing her with, you know, the care that she needs to remain in her home as well.
And sometimes we see people actually improve a little bit once they get, you know, hospice, because they get their pain, their symptoms managed. They have the security of knowing that they've got, you know, the aide, the social worker, you know, the entire team involved. And we do such a good job of taking care of people that they actually improve their lifespan. I mean, there are studies that show that if you manage someone's pain, it can increase longevity. So, you know, we see that often.
And as important is we increase their quality of life.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Towards the end of 6 months, we reevaluate the patient, and sometimes they do sign off or go on to curative treatment if it's the way it's going.
Right.
And that's why they can last for 6 or 4 years, that after 6 months, we kind of reevaluate, and it looks like they're still appropriate. We maintain the service.
Right, and we do that. And part of the regulations are that we reevaluate patients the first 90 days, the second 90 days they're on hospice, and then every 60 days we objectively look at that. We gather information, objective findings. We sometimes have our physicians visit. The attending physicians give us information. And there's sometimes people just have a slow, steady decline, and that's what's happened.
And exactly, and that's what's happened in both of these cases. I mean, there's...
We love it when people live
absolutely.
Longer than 6 months. We love it. We
so
even love
they.
It. We even love it. We can graduate patients, which we've done that before.
Oh, plenty.
Where patients
yeah.
have gone off of hospice, and they can come back on if they need it. So
right.
there are miracles. Well, let's talk a little bit. Let's just share a story about maybe a patient maybe that comes to mind that you've taken care of that would be a fun story.
Well, always, I think what comes to my mind, and Rick, you're going to remember this, was the patient who came to the Pickering House and ended up getting married that same day.
Oh, that's right.
That was just an awesome story where together, that was Carl Hartman was our chaplain then. It was before he retired. And literally the nursing assistants were out gathering flowers for the fiancé's
Was it the
bouquet.
Patient in Ohio State University Hospital?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And was leaving the hospital that day to come to the Pickering House.
And they stopped and got their marriage license on the way. And whenever they got to the Pickering House, I just they were talking about getting married, and I said, you know, is that going to happen anytime soon? And they said, well, if you have a pastor, the patient said, well, if you have a pastor available, and of course that was about all I needed.
Yeah.
And the nursing assistants were out gathering flowers for the bouquet. I mean, it
picked
was
picked up a wedding cake and non-alcoholic bubbly at Kroger's.
Yep.
And
it was just awesome. It was
so
a great
within
effort.
Hours.
Within about 3 hours.
And it wasn't really a gold digger situation. That's what I was telling somebody one time. I said, no, they had actually been
together forever.
The guy just didn't like commitment. But, but you know, it was just, let's get this thing done. And it was just amazing. It was an amazing story.
And
we had, in fact, we could got the wedding march off the internet, but they didn't have a computer in the room, so they fed the wedding march through a baby monitor, you know, from the office, our administrative office, and so we had a wedding march, and I'm not sure about the honeymoon, but it was a good wedding, you know. But
that was a great story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is fun.
Yeah.
It's one of the many things that happen, and we celebrate life, you know, and it was just great how everybody pitched in, and we were moving furniture. I wasn't. Yeah, they said the housekeeping staff was moving furniture. The nurses were involved. And
I believe that man died soon after he was married, a day or two.
He wasn't with us for very long.
Yeah. So.
But.
We made his little final wish come true.
Absolutely.
So, and that's what we're there to do, you know, to really help the families and patients, because this is their journey, and we want them to do things the way they'd like.
You know,
to
it is true. And at the end of life, it's not always these big whoop-de-doo trips. It's they want the simple things, a high school diploma, get married, just little things that we are able to help people with. So.
Well, and we also have patients who are able to take that last vacation because we're able to provide them with the resources to do that.
And oftentimes, Ellen's offering to go with them.
So far, nobody has taken me up on that.
Denise, will you pay me to drive down to Florida with this family? Or, you know, nurses are always jumping on the opportunity. So.
But, you know, we do. We just transfer them to the hospice at their destination. It just works out perfect.
It does. And, you know, make sure they have enough medicine to go on their trip and their oxygen if they need it. And they have a nice time. So, well, we are going to take a short break. Thank you, Ellen and Rick, for being with us. You're listening to AM 1320 WLOH, First in Talk Radio.